chapter 32, chapter 32. Numbers chapter 32. I do appreciate so much you being here tonight, and I pray that we'll be encouraged and challenged because of God's Word. I'm going to ask, if you're able to do so, to please stand in reverence and honor to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, eternal Word, Numbers chapter 32, and we're going to look at one verse of Scripture, and it's verse number 23. Verse number 23. But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and give you praise and honor and glory for who you are. Lord, realizing tonight, God, that you're in charge, realizing and knowing tonight, God, that you're in control. Lord Jesus, that encourages us as believers to know, Lord, that you control and you're in charge. And God, I thank you for that. I also thank you, Lord, that you're in control and in charge of this moment in our lives. God, I ask that you might just forgive me of my sin. Lord, I'd ask that you'd cleanse my heart, that you'd wash me whiter than snow. And I ask, Lord Jesus, that you would fill me with your Spirit. God, from the top of my head to the sole of my feet, Lord, that you'd fill me now. Lord, that I would submit myself to you, that I would surrender myself to you, that I would yield myself to you. God, my mind, my soul, my body, my all, God, my all may be yielded to you now. And Lord Jesus, I would ask that you would preach through me through these next few moments. God, I pray for clarity of speech and mind, but most of all, God, I pray for the unction and the power and the conviction of the Holy Spirit to be seen and felt in this place. And we ask all of these things in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. I'm having a little trouble with my throat. How many of you know what a boomerang is? Oh, good. I wasn't sure. You know, if you see an expert throw a boomerang, they can throw that thing and it'll arch up and it always returns. It always comes back. And again, it has, I guess, by the way that thing's made. But I want to talk to you tonight about how sin is Satan's boomerang. Amen? Sin is the devil's boomerang. I mean, folks, you can throw it long, you can throw it hard, you can throw it fast, you can throw it high. But it always seems to come back. It always seems to return. And veteran gamblers have a saying. Listen to what they're saying is, no sure thing, there's no sure thing as a sure thing. But if you look at the truth of God's Word tonight and what we see in this verse tonight, folks, there is one sure thing. And that sure thing is, you can bet your life on that sure thing, your sin will find you out. That's what it says. In verse number 23, he says, be sure your sin will find you out. And what that means, folks, is you and I can't get away from it. That means you and I can't get away with it. It means you and I never have, never will. We're not going to get away from this issue of sin. I want you to notice it does not say, be sure that others will find out your sin. I want you to notice also it does not say, be sure that you will find out your sin. It says, be sure that your sin will find you out. What that means is sin will haunt us, sin will hound us, sin will hunt us until it finds us unless you and I, as believers and as a lost person, take that sin to the foot of Calvary. Amen? Let me give you a little background behind this verse so you'll understand it better. The nation of Israel was about to enter into the promised land. And two of the 12 tribes, Reuben and Gad, they liked the land east of the Jordan River. And they wanted to stay where they were. They didn't want to cross over into the Jordan. cross over the Jordan. But the Lord had told the entire nation that they must enter the promised land, they must fight the battle, they must win the war, they must take the land, because God had promised it to them. So what Moses did, Moses told these two tribes that what they had to do, they had to cross over. They had to go over and fight. They had to gain the land. And if they wanted to, after they had conquered the land, they could come back to the east side of the Jordan River. But first they had to go fight. They had to go do their battle, because it wasn't fair for them to stay in the barracks, so to speak, as these other men were out on the battlefield. And they agreed to fulfill their commitment to the Lord and to the nation. But as a warning to that, here's what Moses said. Moses said, see to it that you do it. Make sure you do that. And then he says, but if you don't, be sure your sin will find you out. And that's the background of that text. Now, when you think about that statement, be sure your sin will find you out, there are three reasons why you and I ought to fear sin. And I'm going to give them to you tonight. The first reason we ought to fear sin is because sin will control you. Notice the text again. The text says, be sure your sin will find you out, meaning that you and I cannot win over the game of sin, because it'll beat you every time. It will beat you every time. The skeletons will not stay in the closet. One preacher said, you can lock the door and throw away the key, but they'll crawl through the keyhole and find you out. Amen? And I believe that's right, folks. Another way of putting that is, whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. But even if this statement was not in the Bible, it would still be true, because Jesus said in John 8:34, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. Now, if you don't believe that, you need to ask the alcoholic after he develops cirrhosis. You need to ask the homosexual with AIDS. You need to ask that adulterer who has lost his family at the altar of lust. You need to ask that fornicator who's developed all these kind of venereal diseases. If they'll be honest with you, they will tell you that sin enslaves and sin shackles. And experience also tells us that this verse is true. What do you mean by that, Brother Robert? Well, sin will also find you out in your body. I'm paying for some of the things right now that I did in my early life. Amen? Let me give you some examples. Today, herpes and AIDS infect 2.5 million Americans. Do you know that? There are 20 different sexually transmitted diseases. And somebody is being infected in America with a venereal disease every 45 seconds. Truth, sin will not only find you out in your body, folks, but I want to tell you, it goes a step further. Sin will find you out in your mind. You folks, sin's not in a hurry, because sooner or later in life, it'll catch up with your conscience. It always does. Let me give you an example of that. These same doctors have identified the problem that many women have in our country. It's called PAS, meaning post-abortion syndrome. It is a mental health problem that generally affects women anywhere from 5 to 9 years after an abortion, and the major issue they deal with is depression. In the study of 30 women suffering from high stress following abortion, let me give you some more statistics. 60% experience frequent crying, inability to communicate, sexual inhibitions, suicidal tendencies, and increase alcohol and drug use. Between 80 and 100% suffered from the feelings of grief, sadness, loss, depression, anger, guilt, and low self-esteem. Folks, you see, sin has a way of coming out. It has a way of getting out of the closet. Sin has a way of crawling out from under that rock. And not only does it affect our body, but it also affects our mind. A lot of people don't really understand this, and I don't have time to deal with this, but I'll give you just a part of an example. I know this lady that served her pastor, and she had had a really rough background. I mean, a really rough background. And I want to tell you something, folks. Sin had affected her mind. Do you realize that sin will do that to you? Sin affects your mind. One preacher calls sin the infallible detective. I read a story about four high school teenagers who skipped school, morning school, because they wanted to go fishing. And when they got to the school later on in the day, they told the teacher that the reason they weren't there is because they had a flat tire on the car. Well, they had a test that morning. The teacher said, well, I'm going to give you a little makeup quiz so you can get up with the class. So she said all four of them boys in different parts of the room, so they weren't together, and there was one question on the test. Which tire was flat? Amen? Folks, you can be sure your sin will find you out every time. But hear me, folks. The danger is that before it finds you out, it will grip you and control you, and you become its slave. And again, people have no, particularly young people, they think they're going to last forever. They think everything's going to be fine. But I want to tell you something, folks. It will grip you and control you until you become a slave to that very sin. So the first one thing we see here is sin will control you. The second thing we see is sin will catch you. It is a sure thing. Even if you don't see it at physical problems or mental problems or emotional problems, folks, this verse would still be true. Be sure your sin will find you out. Now, how do I know that this verse is a sure thing? How do I know that sin will find you out? How do I know that a person never gets away with sin? How do you know that? How can you know that a person never ever gets away with sin? I'm going to tell you simply how, folks. Because there's a holy God in heaven. Did you hear me? There's a holy God in heaven, and there are basically two reasons why people sin. The first reason is the reason people sin is they think they can conceal their sin. They think they can hide it. The second reason they sin is because they think they can escape the judgment, folks. They really believe that they can get away with it. Listen to Psalms 10:13. Here's what it says. Wherefore doth the wicked contend? That means the renounce God. The wicked renounce God. He, man, has said in his heart, thou will not require it, meaning thou will not require me to give an account to God for my sin. Meaning this, you can fool a policeman, you can fool a judge, you can fool a jury, but you can't fool God. You cannot fool God. There's not a lawyer in this world who can plea bargain your sin away. How many of you remember that O.J. Simpson trial and the glove that didn't seem to fit? You remember all that, holding that glove up, folks? Technicalities don't work in God's courtroom. This verse does not say, be sure your crime will find you out. This verse says, be sure your sin will find you out. Back in the 19th century, there was a notorious murderer. We all heard about him in London. His name was Jack the Ripper. To this day, nobody knows who he is. But I want to tell you something, folks. Jack the Ripper, maybe he got away with his crime, but he's not going to get away with his sin, amen? Not in your life, because there's a holy God in heaven who knows exactly who he is and who will one day judge him for his sin. I read about this man who was charged with shooting some pigeons that belonged to a farmer. And this farmer, again, he was kind of backwards, but the man who was accused of doing so, he had some money, so he hired this high-priced lawyer, and they went to a jury trial. And the lawyer had the farmer on the stand. He said, now, sir, are you prepared to swear that this man shot your pigeons? And the farmer paused. He said, well, I didn't say he shot them. I said I suspected him of shooting them. And the lawyer crowed triumphantly, oh, now we're getting to the truth. What made you suspect him of that? And here's what the farmer said. Well, first, I heard a gun go off. Second, I caught him on my land with a gun. Third, I found four pigeons in his hunting jacket, and I don't think they flew in there and committed suicide. The fact of the matter is, folks, you can hide a crime, but you cannot hide sin. Why do you think so many crimes are committed at night or under the cover of darkness? You know why, folks? Because men are hoping they can hide from their sin. Has it ever occurred to you that so often we buy clothes that are dark? You know why we buy clothes that are dark? Because it won't show dirt. Hello. Now what we're really saying is, folks, we're really saying we don't mind the presence of dirt just as long as nobody else knows about it. Have you ever noticed I have a lot of dark suits? What we're really saying is we don't care if we wear a dirty piece of clothing as long as nobody else knows about it. Amen? We just don't want people to know about it. And that's a perfect parallel of our attitude towards sin. The more we think we can hide a sin, the more likely we are tempted to commit a sin. And what matters to a lot of people is not the fact that they commit a sin, but what matters to a lot of people is that they can commit that sin and nobody will know about it. Well, let me give it to you plain and straight, folks. Neither darkness nor distance makes a difference with God. He knows. Sooner or later, sin has a way of coming out. It always does. I read this story of this guy who was an engineer here in America. And he was dating this girl, and he was very fond of her. They'd made plans to get married, but he got a job in Ireland doing it, working at an electronics plant. And it was a 2-year stint. So he decided, he talked to her, he decided he'd go to Ireland. He'd do that 2-year stint, and they'd take that money and put a down payment on a house. And, I mean, they were all excited about it, so he left to go to Ireland. He was there for some time. Well, they corresponded back and forth with letters. They wrote love letters back and forth. And as the weeks began to go by, she began expressing doubt that he was being true to her because she knew there was a lot of beautiful women in Ireland. So this young engineer, he would write her back, and he had tried to assure her, and he'd emphasize her that he was paying absolutely no attention to these beautiful women. And he said in one letter, he said, "I admit that they're beautiful, but I'm tempted, but I'm keeping myself for you." So the next item that came, it wasn't a letter, but it was a box. And inside that box, what she'd done, she had sent him a letter and a harmonica. And here's what the letter said. She said, "I'm sending this to you so that you can learn to play it and have something to do to take your mind off those girls." What happened, folks? He gets a letter from her. He sends a letter back to her. He says, "Thanks for the harmonica. I'm practicing on it every night, and I'm thinking about you." Well, the end of that 2-year period came up. Time for him to come home. He lands at the airport, he gets off, he sees her, he runs to her, he's going to embrace her, he's going to kiss her, and right before he gets to her, she says, "Now hold on a minute, just wait 1 minute. Before there's any kissing or hugging going on, let me hear you play that harmonica." Amen? Mark it down, friend. Some way, somehow, the moment of truth will arrive in our lives. Folks, whether it's in darkness or whether it's distance, God knows, God sees, God watches. And you and I may escape a judge, we may escape a jury, folks, but we cannot escape God. So the first thing we see is sin will control you. The second thing we see is sin will catch you. The third thing we see is sin will condemn you. It says, "Be sure your sin will find you out." And this verse is meant to strike terror in the hearts of people to keep us from sinning. That's what it's designed to do. Remember, the verse does not say, "Be sure your sin has found you out," because maybe at this point it hadn't found you out. It does not say, "Be sure your sin may find you out," because maybe it has not. It says, "Be sure your sin will find you out," meaning, folks, it may not find you out this very moment. Meaning, folks, it may not find you out in this life. It may not find you out in your body. Not every homosexual develops AIDS. Not every fornicator gets venereal disease. Sin may not find you out in your conscience right now. And the Bible speaks of some men whose their conscience are seared, and that means their conscience is hardened. And you and I know that there are people here today in America who can murder, rape, and molest children. They can go down to sleep without a second thought of what they've done. In fact, when somebody does something wrong and is not immediately punished for it, it's natural that he thinks he's gotten away with it. Listen to what Ecclesiastes 8:11 says. "Because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil." In other words, if the punishment of sin does not come immediately, a person may think to himself, "Well, I'm getting away with this. Therefore, I can continue to do what I want to do." Now, hear me, folks. Just because you get away with a sin now doesn't mean that you're going to get away with a sin later. Doctors tell us that AIDS can lie dormant for as long as 10 years before it comes out, folks. You know what that means? That means there are people who are walking around today who are walking time bombs about to go off. Folks, it may not be this year, it may be next year, but somewhere within that 10-year frame, they're going to develop chills and fevers and whelps and sores and finally death. all because sin somewhere along the way will find you out. Now listen, folks, there's some people who are living in sin. I mean, they're openly in rebellion, living in sin, and they think they're getting away with their sin just because nothing's happened to them. 1 Timothy 5:4 says, some men's sins are clearly evident, preceding them to judgment, but those of some men follow later. Those of some men follow later. Meaning that you may be getting away with your sin now, but somewhere along the path of your life or in judgment, you're going to have to face the reaper. Amen. You're going to have to face your sin. I heard a story about a little boy who for Christmas, his dad had given him for Christmas, a fingerprinting set. A fingerprinting set. This boy was excited. He was going around taking fingerprints everywhere. One day he came in his dad and he had a frown on his face. And his dad said, "What's wrong, son?" And he said, "Well, Dad, I'm mad at the man who wrote this book about fingerprinting." His dad said, "Why are you mad at him?" He said, "Well, it's a lie." And his dad said, "Why do you say that?" He said, "Well, Daddy, in this book, this man says that there are no two sets of fingerprints that are alike." And the dad said, "Well, so what?" And here's what the boy said. Well, the boy said, "I know of at least three men who have the same fingerprints." And the dad said, "Well, who's that?" He said, "Well, you, Santa Claus, and the man who broke into my piggy bank." Amen. Folks, funny story, but I want to tell you something, a very solemn truth. Why? Because no two people leave the same set of spiritual fingerprints. You leave your own spiritual fingerprints on every sin you commit. We do, folks. We do. Another story. Years ago, not too many years ago, over in London, a lady came out one morning. And on her door was a basket, and there was a pigeon inside that basket. And she looked at the pigeon, and there was a note attached to the clip on the leg of that pigeon, and it said if she didn't fasten a certain amount of money on the clip of that pigeon's leg and release that bird immediately, her house was going to be burnt down that night. So what the lady did, like she should have, she called the police. And what the police did, they wisely released the pigeon. They had it set up to find out where the pigeon was through airplane. They put a homing beacon on him, and this pigeon flew to a house where two men were there. They arrested him. Well, now these men denied that they knew anything about the pigeon. They pleaded innocence. They said, "This is not our pigeon." So what did the police do? They said, "Okay, we'll test it out." So they drove 100 miles out of town. They let the pigeon go. Guess where he flew? He flew right back to their house. They tested it again. He flew right back to the house. And finally, these men confessed because they broke down. They knew they had no way out of it. Well, I want to tell you something. I said earlier, sin is like a boomerang. And every time you throw it away, it comes back. But sin is always like a homing pigeon that always finds its way back to the person who released that sin. That's why you and I should not only fear sin, but you and I should turn our life over to Jesus Christ and allow Him to deal with our sin. That's why we need to commit our lives to Christ. If you're lost, you need to be saved. If you're a Christian, you need to commit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ so that His blood will cover your sin. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Folks, we need to confess that sin, put it under the blood of Jesus Christ. If you don't, somewhere, some way along the line, your sin will find you out. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you again for your word. I thank you again for this opportunity to preach your word. And I ask, Lord Jesus, now, Lord, as the invitation is given, as James begins to play, God, that you'd speak to hearts. Lord, if there's somebody here tonight that's lost and they don't know you in a genuine, real way, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd bring conviction in their lives. Lord, that they'd step forward. And in stepping forward, Lord, their desire is to receive Jesus. God, I pray you'll do that. I pray for Christians, God, all of us tonight. Not a one of us here, God, that need to confess our sin, come clean with you. Lord, confession of sin, you tell in your word that we prosper if we confess our sin. God, help us now to confess our sin, come clean with you. And Lord, depend on you to take care of a problem we can't handle, and that's our sin problem. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask you to stand quietly, please. I'm going to be down at the front. I'm going to invite you to come. If you want to come to this altar and pray, that's fine. But I'll be here if you need me to pray with you.